Hey, fans, viewers, and listeners, welcome to another exciting episode of Fight Inside Podcast. I'm your co-host for today, Rain Cruz, also known as Ringside Rain, ring announcer for Up Next Fighting. And with me, as always, is Timmy B. Today, we will have our interview with Chelsea Chandler after her recent victory at UFC Fight Night. Plus, we will talk more about Mike Tyson versus Jake Paul and the spotlight that it's been getting from the media, including Howard Stern. All that and more. So, Tim, what are we waiting for? Hit it! Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Fight Insight Podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome to the show. We've got hopefully two incredible guests. I know we've got one ready to go. She secured a victory this past weekend at UFC Taibura versus Tuivasa, where she put on a fight of the night performance in my books. It was a great fight. You've seen her on the podcast before, way back on episode 97, over a year ago. So I'm glad she's back. She is a true friend of the podcast, and she's one of Stockton's baddest women. Here, she had her left hand cocked and loaded the whole fight, Rain. I was ready for this punch to come down the pipes. She devastated with hard ground and pound. She rebounded off a tough loss. She owned it. Here we go, Rain. Welcome her in.
Please welcome Chelsea Chandler.
Hi. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Chelsea, I'm so glad that you're back on the podcast. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just happy. I came home with a win. It's always nice.
I am so happy for you, Chelsea. Like I said before we started, my wife and I were screaming for you. Like, God damn it, Chelsea. Let me tell you, I'm surprised you guys didn't get fight of the night because you guys were wailing on one another.
So I kind of think I know why.
Why?
So if you miss weight, you don't get fight of the night.
Oh, shit.
And then, because they said, the night before, they were going to do a fight of the night and two performance bonuses. And Sometimes what happens is if there's fight of the night, the person that doesn't make weight, they don't get any money and they give $100,000 to the other person. And I don't know if they just didn't want to give her $100,000. I don't know. But yeah, I know that was a lot of heartache when I had to cut the weight. Oh. And I was like, I got it. This is like a bonus fight. This could be a bonus fight. I have to make the weight. And yeah, so I don't know. But after the fight, I was like, yeah, well, luckily it wasn't like a standout performance of the night bonus, you know? So I wasn't super sad about it. But like, if I would have went in there and knocked her out, then I would have been real mad. I wasn't going home with 50K.
Wait, this is breaking news. Is the reason why you didn't knock her out because you're like, well, I'm not going to get the 50K anyways?
Well, there wasn't a lot of motivation behind it. But no, I always try to finish the fights.
Okay. Had you got the 50K, could you upgrade your cell phone? Because it's got very poor data. I don't know what's happening here. You're a bit blurry. Is that where your money would go first, to a better cell plan?
Maybe I got to go to Verizon because I got AT&T.
Sponsor this woman, Verizon. Bad? No, that's okay.
Down the street. Let me see.
No, okay. Don't worry. Chelsea, okay. I do want to ask you though, your left hand, you look like you were ready to blow her head off. Like you kept having it cocked. And I was like, Oh my God, you looked way more aggressive this fight. It was a great fight. Congratulations. I mean, and thank you for coming on because it's 2 days removed. How are you feeling in general? Lame question.
I feel good. Yeah. My nose is just a little busted. Everybody saw the blood. But it didn't bother me. You know, it was nice. She kind of hit me. I didn't feel it. It wasn't like, oh, it broke, you know, but I took her down and then all of a sudden I just feel dripping and it was like warm, like drips. And I'm seeing them just drop all over her. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like, I tried to breathe in real quick and I was like, yeah, I can still breathe. This is not a problem. So I just went about my day in the fight. It wasn't something that made me like nervous or anything about that. I kind of embraced it and I was kind of happy because I don't think anybody else has made me bleed in a fight.
Yeah. So. Hey, I liked it. You look good. You look badass, right? You had all the blood all over you. You were killing it, Chelsea. I was so happy. One thing, well, there's a few questions I want to get to. One is, how come you were taking photo. I saw promo photos of you the week of in a black outfit, but then you came out in a blue. Is that a weird question? Why do people have you in black outfit? You've never worn black.
Okay, so I fought in black.
When?
On Saturday.
No, you were in blue.
No, what? I was in black. I was in black, yeah.
Okay, maybe my TV is brutal?
Okay. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe you
are you sure you were in black?
I'm sure. So my first two fights
I mean, you I was should in know.
Blue. Yeah, my first two fights I was in blue, and then this fight was in black. And it was kind of funny because Media Week, you know, you do the pictures, you do this and you do that. And I was so excited because I was like, yes, I finally got the black outfit. I want to do media. And then the UFC didn't even schedule me for media pictures. And I was like, whoa, what the heck? I was like, I'm skinniest I've ever been. I want to take photos. So I was like, you guys got to put me in the schedule. I was like, that's a part of getting ready for the fight, having the media day. So they did some magic and got me some pictures. I went in and did photos and stuff, but it really originally wasn't even in the cards to have photos done.
That's funny because, you know, Rain, this is the second person that we've had recently that talks about like not being in media day. Chelsea, you're a killer, man. Like, you know, you're a good character. You've got a good personality. You've got the look. Like, I don't know why they wouldn't be putting you out there, but I'm glad that you got it done.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. A lot of stuff goes on behind the scenes and things like that. You know, I didn't have the media day getting questioned by the media either, but it's kind of nice. It's like, okay, well, last fight was so much, you know, a whole big ceiling over my head. This time it was like, whatever, nobody gives a shit, so I got to go out there and take them. So it wasn't it wasn't a big deal to me. I don't mind. I don't really care, you know. So doesn't
okay.
my feelings hurt.
So I do want to say, you know, you're bringing it up, and I asked before the podcast if I could bring it up. Last fight, it went viral badly as a meme, right? Yeah. When you turned your back and you ran from the girl. What I really want to say, Chelsea, is how cool you were with it, because within 24 hours you posted the photo with the caption, it was at this moment I knew I fucked up. And I thought that was really cool of you.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really cool of you to take ownership of it, right? And just play it off and go, yeah, fuck, things happen, right? So like, did people have to console you for that? Or were you like, you're just cool with it because you're just that kind of girl?
I don't have a media team. Nobody told me to post it and write that caption. For me, it wasn't, I just fucked up, you know, and to me, you got all those crazy people. Like, for me, I don't go and sit on Instagram or Twitter and read all the mean comments that these people say. Like, I'll read a couple and then I'll just kind of laugh. And it's just like, okay, and who are you? You're not fighting. You're not training like I train. And everybody can sit on the couch and have their nice little opinion, but at the end of the day, they're not putting in the work, and they're not putting themselves out there, because it takes a certain type of person to even step into the cage. Not everybody wants to go into a cage fight, you know. So I read a lot of those with a grain of salt and kind of just laugh, and I'm like, okay. But some people read them and they get devastated and they go and turn inward, and you know, it can cause a lot of bad problems. And for me, I'm just like, I felt like I made mistakes in that fight. It wasn't her being better per se. It was I ran into her punch because I got overzealous, and then this time I was like, you know what, I gotta stick to the game plan. I can't just go out there and try to knock everybody out and be stupid sometimes. So I learned from it. I played a little bit more counterpunching this time. I was on my backpedaling, moving more, and I felt like I was not in my head as much this time. Time I was, and I worked on that a lot this camp, and I'm just happy that I was able to stick to the game plan and show some improvement.
And look, you were badass. I'm going to ask you, when you were running away from her, was there part of you that, I don't know,
Norma.
Okay, look, When you're running away, though, I thought for sure you were going to whip around with a spinning elbow or something. Oh, because
I wish I would have. It would have been beautiful.
Okay. Because the, in both cases, they both kind of came after you. And I'm like, if you had just whipped around with a spinning back fist.
I would have. Yeah. Know. The way her arms were down, like a linebacker charging me, she would have went 9.
Yeah.
I fucked up.
Yeah.
I watched that and I was like, God damn it. So then this fight, I actually kind of did a couple little practices, like not in the fight, but for the fight camp. I was like, if this happens, I could, you know, do this or do that. And then you see in this fight, I kind of threw that back kick. Did you see it? I hit her in the face with my foot.
Yeah.
I didn't even know I could get my foot up that high running like that. But, yeah, so I did a little bit of training on working on that.
Yeah, there you go. And, okay, I do want to ask, because someone wrote in, I know we don't have too much time with you. One person wrote in, what's happening with the 145 division? It's gone?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. So someone was asking, and I don't know if you can answer this, but when you have a contract with the UFC, it doesn't stipulate your weight class? Like,
it does.
So what happens then if you're still under contract? Do you have any more fights on your contract?
I do, but I'm under contract as a bantamweight. The UFC did me a favor and gave me a fight at 45.
Oh, nice.
And I fucked it up. Yeah. You know, the world would have been in my hands if I didn't fuck that fight up.
Okay.
They did me a favor and my contract is at bantamweight.
Okay. Awesome. Well, then I'm just going to ask you, then it's not even bad against you though. People were online and they're questioning, they were sending in questions for you. Cause they're like, what if you were a 145er and they get rid of the division? How would you ever get out of your contract? I would assume they would just let you go.
Yeah. That's what I would assume too. Like if you tell them, hey, listen, I can't make that weight anymore, then I mean, they asked, hey, can Chelsea make bantamweight? So after I lost that last fight. So I felt like if I would have said no, it would have been out of the contract, you know. So because at the end of the day, cutting weight is dangerous. And I don't think that they're in the business of telling people, you cut to bantamweight or you'll never fight again. You know, I don't think they're doing that. I haven't asked to get out of contract or anything. I love the UFC, so that's not some type of alley I've had to go down yet.
No, of course. I want to see you there for a long time. Rain, I've got a couple questions left, but do you have anything that you want to ask?
I actually have a random question for you. Did anyone ask you if you were a comedian when you said you were Chelsea Chandler?
So one of my Invicta fights, I think my second or third, they literally wrote my name down as Chelsea Handler on the fucking ball. Someone's like, oh, those comedians fighting on the actual broadcast, Chelsea Handler. I was like, oh, my God. There's this other chick. She's a weather girl, I think, over in Oklahoma. Her name is Chelsea Chandler, my name. She's this blonde, real pretty reporter. And everybody tags her all the time. So I've got two celebrities that get tagged in between, and it's kind of funny.
They're like, I'm going to beat the crap out of Chelsea Handler. That's going to be an easy fight. I'll take it.
Yeah, she's like 50.
Question, of course, what is next for you, Chelsea? I think that you posted Yana Kunitskaya. Was that you saying that?
I saw that. I didn't make that post, but when I see people come up with ideas that I like and I could do, I repost them. I like them. I think she's coming off a couple losses and maybe she needs a tune-up fight and I would be happy to tune her up. The rankings are going to be out, I think, on Wednesday or Tuesday, and we're going to see where I'm at. I know Norma's 11, but that was at featherweight. I mean, we still don't even know if she's going to make bantamweight. She's got one chance against Jermaine Durandamé. So I'm thinking I'll be like 12 or 13 on come Wednesday. And honestly, whoever they give me, I don't really care at this point. I mean, you see all these girls like Mara Buena Silva fighting four unranked chicks and then one number six girl and she's got a title fight. And so at this rate, I'm like, just give me whoever I got to fight to get to the belt and they can make it as easy or as hard as they want. And at this rate, I'm not really, anybody in the top 10 is fine with me.
Yeah, of course. And I like the Yana Kunitskaya matchup. I feel like that's a good one. I like that. So whoever made that, smart.
I like it. I've seen her fight before. I think she also has a hard cut to bantamweight, and her eyes kind of get a little buggy. She doesn't like getting hit in the head, and that's what I plan on doing. So I think it's a good fight.
Yeah, not good for her, but it's a good fight for you.
For you, yeah.
Chelsea, I do have one last question. I don't think I asked it to you last time you were on the podcast. Like, I just started asking it of people, and I ask it to everybody. But before I do ask that, is there anything that you want to say to fans, viewers, and listeners of the podcast?
I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I put in a lot of work, and I wanted to get the finish, you know, but things don't always happen like that, and I just want to thank my coaches, Victor Galvin, Big Boss Muay Thai, Felipe Martinez, Caesar Gracie, and all my other coaches I train with, Val Ignatoff, Steve Heath, and the list kind of goes on. But yeah, that's about it.
All right. And if you get that spinning back fist ever, then you better shout me out.
I will.
You know what I mean? Because you go, hey. Yes,
I got you.
Fight Inside Podcast told me to do that.
Yes.
I'm splitting the 50K with you, Timmy. That's what I want to hear.
2%.
Fine. I'll take it. In Canadian, you know how much that is?
That's a lot.
I'll buy a new house.
You can buy a new TV, Tim, so you can actually see
that I'm in black. Watch my last fight.
I don't. Okay. Anyway, my brain. Anyways, last question I'm going to ask you, Chelsea. Thank you so much for coming back. I really appreciate it. Quickly, it's a question that my mom used to ask me all the time growing up. So I want to ask it to you 2 days out of your win here. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
I'm happy. I mean, I feel like, you know, you have to fight. You either lose or you win, and you're either happy or you're sad. But for me, it's just another day. I'm recovering, and I try not to just get the big highs and the big lows because it's really depressing doing that.
Yeah.
But I'm happy. And for me, it was, we watched the fight a couple times, and it was like, you fucked up on this. You fucked up on this. You should have finished her here. So for me, it was like, oh, I got all this work to do, you know? So I'm trying to live in the moment and also think about, I got all this shit I got to work on, you know, because the next opponent is going to be harder. And I'm happy.
All right. Good. I'm happy to hear it. Hey, look, you know what I do find, Rain? A lot of the badasses from California never give us a number. They're always like, you know, they're always tempered with their response. And they're always like, no, I got places to go. So it's something in the California water. I don't know.
Yeah.
But Chelsea, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so happy that you won. Good luck in your future. Thank you for always being a friend of the podcast too. This was so cool that you came on, and you're a great person, and I'm glad that you got to meet Rain. And
nice meeting you.
I'll see you soon. I'll talk to you soon, and good luck with everything.
Okay. Thank you guys.
Congrats again. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So yeah. There she is. That was Chelsea Chandler Rain. Do you like the screen like that, the three people?
I like it, like the way we had it, because you can see like the actual Fight Insight podcast.
Oh, really? Okay. Stuff.
Yeah. Because like here, I kind of noticed.
No, not now with us. When we have the guest, I mean.
Oh, like that. I prefer that.
Yeah.
Because you could, you could see like the branding and the, you know, social media.
All right. Well, then, thank you, Rain. I will never do that again. Honestly,
it's for my background.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great that we got Chelsea Chandler. She's so cool, man. I really like her. She's got such a good personality. So I really wanted to get her on. And geez Louise, I'm so happy that she came on. I think that's the first time I've ever had a guest come on, like, right
after a fight. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
163 episodes in, Rain. I've got, you know, some connections now. Some people are like responding right away. So it's kind of freaking cool, you know?
That's good.
Friends of the podcast update, of course, go check out RageWorks Podcast Network. They are at RageWorksNetwork.com. I've been saying it for like 162 episodes and I always get it wrong. RageWorksNetwork.com. Go check them out for audio podcasts like ours. Go check them out. They're big supporters. Big Sam, he won his boxing fight at Hype Boxing on the weekend. I'm so proud of him. Beast Boy Mike Davis put on one hell of a show and he got a win at UFC. And then so did, of course, our friend Chelsea Chandler. So congratulations to those guys. Unfortunately, my good buddy Bam Bam wasn't able to get the victory. And then same as Isaac Delgarian, which I don't know, that one was almost like a robbery. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of like sad for him, but both those guys are killers and I love them. So congratulations. Just, you know, hey, you guys did well. So good luck to you guys in the future. Timmy B is going out to Nova Scotia, going out to Lance, Nova Scotia. I keep saying it was Elmsdale. Apparently these two towns or cities are like right next to each other. But FLA 14 and Submission Kumite 6, April 12th and 13th. Get out to Nova Scotia or check it out, fightleagueatlantic.com, to purchase the pay-per-views for both nights. Go support local people. And Ringside Reign is going to be at UNF 17 in a week. A week and a half,
March 30th at the Ameria Convention Center in Burbank, California. Tickets are still available, so please check out upnextfighting.com or go on Instagram at upnextfighting.
Yeah, that's going to be an amazing card. We've got our good buddy Gianni Vasquez defending his title. He's been out promoing already. Mm-hmm. Like, he's very heavy on social media. That dude's a killer. Like, after this win, UFC's knocking.
I know.
Right?
I know. Like, Gianni, don't forget us.
Don't forget us, Gianni, you son of a bitch. Next week on the podcast, Rain, I'm very excited. I've got a whole bunch of different people lined up, but this one is dialed in for our regular time next week, Rain.
Chuck Buffalo?
Goddamn Chuck Buffalo. No. I've stopped messaging Chuck Buffalo because I messaged so many times, and then the last few times he goes, yeah, I'll let you know. And I don't know if that's just a polite way of saying, like, get lost now.
He's probably busy. That could be.
He said he had house renovations or something. Like, it wasn't like...
No, but that could take forever.
All right.
Yeah, and stressful.
But he did say yes at one point. Anyway, Next week on the podcast, pro boxer Nasila Chaos Costello from Australia. I've been following this girl on Instagram. She is the funniest shit. She is so funny, this girl. And she's a pro boxer. She looks badass. She's making her BKFC debut on March 29th at the Albuquerque, New Mexico card.
Wow.
I had no clue that was going to happen. She posts it and I'm like, yo, I want you on the podcast for sure. She goes, let's do it. So next week, Nasila Costello, the Chaos, is coming to Fight Insight Podcast. Get ready, Rain. She's a blast. She's so funny.
That's awesome. Can't wait.
Now watch. She'll come on the podcast and she'll be super boring and it's all an act. We're like, no. But yeah. Rain, some stuff I wanted to talk about. I was driving today and I was listening to Sirius Satellite or XM, whatever it is, satellite radio on my car. And Howard Stern is talking about Mike Tyson fight. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because this is what's going to happen, Rain. These media people know nothing, right? So they bring it up and Howard Stern starts going, this guy's a killer.
Who is he talking about?
Both, actually, okay. Which shocked me. But he goes, I don't really know anything about Jake Paul, but what I do know is that he's been beating some real boxers. He's beating pro boxers and now he's fighting Mike Tyson. And I'm like, he hasn't fought any real boxers. And the one guy he kind of fought, which was Tommy Fury, he lost to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so funny that the media really has no idea. And that's like the world we live in, right? Like, people that aren't into something, you just hear these like offshoot things. And suddenly Howard Stern, with his millions of listeners, is perpetrating the story that this is a guy who's been fighting real boxers and he's been beating all these professional boxers. That's definitely the way that I heard that story. So I'm very interested to see like where this goes now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the media is going to keep pushing it and the story is just going to spin out of control now because this Mike Tyson thing is taking off. I've never heard Howard Stern talk about Jake Paul ever.
Mm-hmm. Up until now.
And this is what this fight is going to do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you been seeing anything online or like what's your general feeling been? People,
you know, I saw this picture, which I am not sure if this is a real picture, but apparently there's a picture that's going around online of Mike Tyson and a baby Jake Paul who's kind of like crying in the picture.
Okay.
And, yeah, like some friend showed me this picture, and I was like, "Is this, how sure are we that this picture is legit?" Because you can, like, you know, edit pictures now. I don't know if it was a meme, but I guess it must be just, if it's not a real picture, it's probably like a good depiction of like showing their age gap, right?
Yeah, 30 years.
Yeah.
Wait, Mike Tyson's holding a baby.
He wasn't holding the baby, but supposedly the baby was Jake Paul and he was crying. Like, it was like an autograph signing. And because Mike Tyson was sitting down and whoever's holding the baby, you could see that the baby was crying. Supposedly the baby was Jake Paul.
So that, okay. So let's say if he's 27 now and he's a baby, it's like 26 years ago.
Yeah.
That's when Mike Tyson was literally insane. You're going to bring your baby next to him. He's going to eat your baby.
You know what I mean?
I would not do that. You know? Anyways, here's something funny is that, and my title here is Iron Getting Dull because he's Iron Mike Tyson, right? But Coach Rafael Cordero, he's the MMA coach out at King's MMA in California. When I visited California, I actually went to King's MMA and I met Rafael Cordero. I met a bunch of UFC fighters and he was so nice. He's the coach that's been kind of training Mike Tyson. In a lot of videos, you'll see Coach Rafael Cordero training Mike Tyson. He says today on a Instagram post, I think it was on the MMA Hour. I took a photo of it. I didn't have time to upload it here. But he's quoted as saying, this is on the MMA Hour with Ariel Helwani that aired just today as we're recording. He goes, "I believe people don't have to be concerned about Mike's safety. You're talking about a guy who's a two-time world champ. The guy had 20 fights in 2 years. He knows how to fight. He fought against the best guys in the world. When he steps in the ring, he knows what to do." Thoughts on that comment, Rain?
I don't know. I'm just like nervous. I don't even know the guy personally, but I'm nervous.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you look at it from, you know, I mean, just looking at the tail of the tape, I mean, like, usually when I read a tail of the tape, the first thing that you see, the age.
Right.
And you'll see the age difference right away. Yeah. I'm not saying that older people cannot, like, you know, function or perform or whatever, but it's like, we're talking about functioning. We're in, you know, it's a physical bout.
Yeah.
And it's about strength. And, you know, back in your prime days, you were that good. But
yeah,
I don't know now. I don't know now.
So, yeah. And we talked about this last week. So if you want to get our initial reactions on the fight, check out last week's episode, which was a great episode. But here we are now. It's continuing in the media with Howard Stern and all that and drudging up this fight, which the more and more media attention it gets, the more I feel like it's going to be a real fight. Howard Stern did say, "Well, if this is an exhibition, I don't give a shit." Mm. And I think that's the way people would think. And I think like the promoters and stuff will know that too. If you say this is an exhibition fight, I think you're going to lose viewership. Like, it has to be a real fight. The minute it's a real fight, I'm very scared for a 58-year-old man or whatever it is, right?
I don't know. I think they would keep it as an exhibition fight.
If it's honestly an exhibition fight, it's fake.
Well, because no matter what, people are going to watch it.
No, I think, yes, but I think if it's an exhibition, I wouldn't cancel plans to watch it. You know what I mean? Like, if my wife says we got to go to Bed Bath & Beyond, I can't tell her no because there's an exhibition fight I want to watch. But if it's a live pro fight, I can say, "Hey, honey." Okay, who am I kidding? I'm still going to go to Bed Bath & Beyond. But
I know. I was just like.
Okay. Here's what I left the comment on that quote by Rafael Cordero. I wish the follow-up question then to Rafael would be, "Well, how old is too old?" Mm-hmm. Like, he's responding saying, "Hey, don't worry that he's 30 years older. Don't worry that he's 57, 58 years old. He's a former champion. It doesn't matter what I did when I was like 30 years ago." We're talking, what is he going to do now? So the question to Rafael Cordero is, "Well, how old is too old? At what age would you no longer be able to say, well, he killed people when he was 20? there's got to be an age. 65? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And goddamn, 58 years old is pretty freaking up there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
To compete in a sport where the other guy's trying to kill you.
Yeah.
Right? This is we're not playing tennis.
Or chess.
Right. You know, this guy's trying to kill you. It's not even jujitsu. It's punching you in the head to give you brain damage to kill you. You're 57, man. Like, that's my only question to Rafael. That's why I wasn't too keen on that quote that he said, because I'm like, well, but there's got to be an age at which it's too old. So what age is that for you? And I also worry that if you're a coach and you're putting people up like that, it's like that speaks to you as a coach. And again, I love the guy. I met him. He's super friendly to my wife and I. But you got to be honest a little bit. Like if there was a regular Joe in your gym that was 57 and said, hey, I used to box when I was in my teens, but I want to fight again. As a coach, don't you have to go like, hey, dude, the time's passed.
Yeah. But like, it will be crazy though. Like if for some crazy way, Mike Tyson would actually knock out Jake Paul. Like that one lucky punch gets Jake Paul. He gets knocked out. Everyone will go crazy. Everyone will go crazy.
I'm going to say it now. If Mike Tyson wins, it's going to be a body shot.
Okay.
I think if Mike Tyson wins, he's going to like wail him to the body and that will be the end of it. And also, Rain, in this past week, while I've been deliberating about like what we talked about for Mike Tyson, I do think there's a chance that Jake Paul would take a dive to lose to Mike Tyson. I'm thinking in my head about the way that we rigged this fight, and I'm thinking maybe Jake Paul would go, I'm okay to lose to Mike Tyson, but I'm not going to get punched in the face. I'm going to let him wail my body to death. And I'm willing to fall to Mike Tyson. So I'm willing to have the agreement with Mike Tyson. I'm going to lose to you. And I'm Jake Paul. I'm going to lose to you, but you're going to hit me with a body shot. Okay, cool. That's my new conspiracy, Rain. Because I don't like thinking that Mike Tyson's going to lay down for this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I'm thinking that the rig is that Mike Tyson's going to beat him. But it's going to be with a body shot because if you let Mike Tyson punch you in your face, you're dead. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But yeah. I mean, honestly, for me, win or lose, no matter what, this is good for Jake Paul. Because now it's like, what you brought up about Howard Stern, how now it's being talked about in his podcast. And it's like, it just helps promote Jake Paul. Because everyone knows who Mike Tyson is, but like Jake Paul, it's like people are like, who? What? Who? Jake Paul? Yeah. Who? Who is he fighting? Oh, and then they're going to start looking him up. And then, it's no matter what, whatever the outcome of this bout comes to, it's going to be good for Jake Paul.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll keep talking about Rain because I'm going to keep seeing things on there, but keep your eye out for like celebrities that are talking about, because I'm very interested to see what celebrities think. So because I want to know where that's going. Before our next guest, who's not here yet, but pray, everybody collectively pray to God that he comes. Our the next thing that I wanted to talk about, so we have iron getting dull, but then there's iron sharpens iron, right? Which is the normal term that we always hear about, like when you want to get better. I do want to give a shout out to one of our former guests of the podcast, Gita Marie Figueroa. She is a transgender fighter. She was a transgender fighter that only fights men. Mm. Okay. So contrary to the drama that goes on in the world, right? This person was choosing to fight in the sex that they were born in. Fought an MMA fight. I think an MMA fight it was. Maybe it was a Muay Thai fight on the weekend. Didn't get the win. My one thing, Rain, that sometimes when we talk to guests, and there's been more than just Gita Marie, but there's people that say that they don't train at gyms, right? Mm-hmm. They just train on their own. They just train wherever. I do my own thing. I'm at LA Fitness and I train. I don't know where these people train, but they're not training at a gym. And it always worries me, right? Because I'm like, I don't know. I think you need like a gym. You need the people, you need the mentality, you need the the sparring partners. You need to see what other people do. You can't play tennis against yourself on a brick wall and think that you're going to become a champion. You know what I mean?
Okay. I'm laughing because I've done that. So
play tennis against a wall.
Well, yeah. I mean, I you know, didn't have any siblings. So
of course, but then you wouldn't go into a high level competition. Yeah. Like you got it. You know what I mean? Gita Marie posts this, and Gita Marie, if you're watching, you know, I love you and you're a great person, but I really like this that she wrote down here. She wrote down, thank you to World Class Fight League that she's been fighting with. She's competed, blah, blah. I must admit that after completing 5 fights that the no gym, no coach, no team, no problem is not really working for me. While I can definitely get credit for getting this far on my own for the most part, I need to rethink how I move forward in the sport. I really like that she posted that. I really like that because I think, yes, it is incredible what people can accomplish on their own. But I think you can only get better by having people around you that are like supporting you and driving you.
100%. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree with that. You know, I'm not a fighter, but at least like for me, you know, like how I found my way, you know, to where I am right now as a ring announcer, it's, you know, I worked, you know, on my own, asked people questions. And then I ended up building a network of people that I trust, people who became my mentors. And now it's good to learn from these people. Cause now it's like, you know, I got a taste of how the industry works. I kind of plugged in the things that in my head, okay, this could probably work. And then I've seen ones that didn't work. And now I'm like, you know what? It'll be nice to kind of learn from someone who's done this, right? Yep. And kind of like ask them questions too. And it helps me learn the business more.
Right. Yep. I think it's really important, you know, and I like it because it's one of my favorite sayings. You know, there's that famous saying that's it's okay to not be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like a mental health saying or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
My saying is, it's not okay to not be okay. Because I think that's more important. I think people need to know that, like, you should always be striving to get better. I don't like people thinking, like, okay, well, I'm not okay, and that's it. It's kind of depressing to me. Like, I get the angle it's supposed to take. That's going to be like, hey, you should be happy with however you are. But why ever give up trying for something, you know?
I don't think it's giving up for, you know, for trying. It's mostly like just accepting that, okay, at this point, I just don't feel fine. And you kind of grieve through that process and then kind of, you know, use that to kind of, you know, get up again and do something about it.
But there you go. You got to get up and do something about it eventually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes, it's okay to not be okay every moment of the day. Right. Like, how do I say that? It's okay to not be okay at some points in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But I always feel like you should keep trying.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. But I worry that in today's world with idiots around, Rain, they just hear that phrase and they're just like, I'm just, you know, like, I'm just never going to go to work again. I'm just going to be unemployed. I'm just going to like never try to get better. I'm never going to try to work out. I'm just going to get fat. I'm just going to be lazy. Right. Like, no, like you should keep trying, you know, like, I mean, the people that we speak to are like the prime examples of what it means to push yourself to the ultimate limit, these fighters. You know what I mean? Mentally, physically, these people are insane. You know what I mean? So, so anyways, congratulations to Gita Marie, because I like this tweet. I like this post. I like the motivation it is. And I like that, you know, eventually at some point, there's going to be that switch that clicks and people go, yeah, hold on. I need a team to get forward and to keep moving forward. So, That's what we're thinking. Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Congratulations again.
Yeah. Okay. What are we going to do now, Rain? My guest is not here.
Waiting for the monkey god.
Waiting for the monkey god, but he is not coming. I don't know that he's going to come for
sure. Has he messaged you just in case he's trying to get the link?
No, I am checking. I've sent the link multiple times. I don't think he is. He's not seen. He saw it. He was messaging and sending me lots of hearts.
Lots of hearts. That's cool.
Well, I mean, you know, like when you acknowledge the message.
Oh,
you know
okay.
I
mean?
So, Yeah, so we'll wait it out. We'll see what else happens. What other topics do I have to talk to you about then? Let's see. I mean, I'm literally ready to become Jared Brooks's legal counsel. Okay? I'm so prepared for this goddamn interview. I have researched to death a bunch of things. You don't even understand. What's that?
No, I was just laughing because you're like, you're ready for this.
Boy, I'm telling you, I spoke to official judges. I spoke to official referees. People were writing in. I was having like voice message conversations with random strangers about this topic. Mm-hmm. Like everybody is very interested in like what happened to Jared Brooks. And again, like I'll play this here. Oh, I do have something funny I can talk to you about. Okay, hold on. But here's the video that we are going to be talking about, which was this fight, and it was the way that he lost the fight.
For your winner, by way of disqualification, Joshua Paccio!
So Joshua Paccio... Right. So it was that controversial loss. He spiked the guy, blah, blah, blah. So I'm all ready for this if he shows up. Okay. What we can talk about quickly, Liz Carmouche.
Ooh.
You met Liz Carmouche.
Yeah.
Bellator flyweight champion. We said to her at the time, what the hell is going to happen? Because PFL bought Bellator.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what happened with her?
She has like an upcoming bout, right? Because there was like a breaking news at some point. And
yep. She is in the PFL season.
Oh.
So she is going for the PFL season, which means she's going to compete in the season for the $1 million.
Mm.
Congratulations.
Because she's the one who would... buy the horses, right?
Yeah, her wife got the horses.
Wife? Okay. Yeah.
Her wife got the horse stuff. She bought the knives, right?
Yeah, so, right. Okay.
Actually,
lots
it's so
nice. Lots of horses. Like
lots
that.
Of horses and lots of knives with $1 million, Rain. But here's the thing, Rain. This is exactly what we talked about when PFL joined with Bellator. I asked her, I said, what happens to your title?
Mm-hmm.
Because when they're showing photos of her on the PFL thing, she's not holding her belt. So suddenly, because I don't know whether she chose to go in that season or what, but when she was speaking to us, it sounded like she wanted to just defend her title.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So why is she in the season? And she's not defending the title as she goes along the season. So this is the weirdest thing. And now what that means is Bellator's women's flyweight title gone. It's gone. Your champion decided to go into the season. And where's the belt now? Now it's just vacant or it's just gone. Like nobody says anything.
Mm-hmm.
This is very strange. And this is what we were saying was going to be the problem with this PFL Bellator thing. Because if all the Bellator champions decide, yeah, well, I'm going to go in the season, where do all the belts go?
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Now,
well, maybe that's something that's getting, you know, worked on behind the scenes, something that Bellator / PFL is trying to figure out right now. Yeah.
You needed to figure this out before you did all this, right? You can't be running by the seat of your pants like this. She brings a lot of star power to that PFL season.
Mm-hmm.
But if the, no offense, but if the men champion started to do this, I feel like there'd be an uproar for the six people that watch Bellator and PFL. You know what I mean? Like five guys in some place are going to be mad. But like, it is weird because now that belt is just gone.
Yeah.
And like, you know, there's people that I know that are flyweights, women flyweights in PFL and Bellator, and now they have no title to search for. That said, in the flyweight season,
mm-hmm.
Caitlin Katniss Neal, she's in there. Jenna Bishop, she's in there. Liz Carmouche is in there. And I think someone else that's been a friend of the podcast. But like, I've got three or four people in that season now that I'm going to be cheering for, which is cool. but I also hate when they like fight one another, right? Because then who am I cheering for, you know? So that's tough. But the one funny thing too is that Bellator has their first, is it their first Champions Series event? Like that's what Bellator has turned into. The first one is Friday, March 22nd. That's this Friday. That's tomorrow. When this podcast drops, that's tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody is talking about this event. And nobody even knows this thing is happening, I swear to God. Like, we're recording this on the Monday. I have seen, like, no promotion for this. But it's crazy. It's like PFL is just letting it go down the drains. But there's the picture. And, I mean, this was posted recently. It says, last chance to buy tickets.
Where is the event going to be?
It's at a bingo hall in North Dakota.
Okay.
No, I'm just kidding. It's Belfast. It's in Belfast, Ireland.
Maybe it's promoted like in Ireland.
And there's not one redhead on the poster.
Like, maybe they don't have a fighter who's a redhead.
You're fighting in Ireland. Like, who? Like, I don't know. You gotta go get some. No,
I don't know. I'm just saying. Maybe they tried and they couldn't find one. And I just realized this about Liz's fight. But like, maybe the reason why she didn't have her belt on her pictures, at least for this PFL bout, maybe it's because to not confuse people, right? That she's defending her belt because, you know, it's a Bellator belt. And then now she's doing this PFL thing. I mean, that could be it.
But you're still, yeah, but until you vacate the title, you are still the champion. So I'd be okay if she doesn't, you can't defend the title in the season because there's no elbows. Mm. And Liz Carmouche is a ground and pound person. So why would she give up one of her main weapons in defending your title, right? So you're not going to do that. But she should be holding the belt throughout the season.
Oh, like promotions and yeah. Okay.
But it's just not up for grabs. But hey, the Bellator champion is in this season.
I see your point. I can also see the confusion that it might bring if,
you again, know. To the six people that are watching PFL, I think we can figure it out. We can start a group chat and I can say, hey, Steve, Rick, Susie, you know what I mean? there's no championship belt. Don Davis, right? He'll be in the group chat. Hopefully he watches his own organization. Where is Don Davis, by the way? He hasn't messaged
Don
us.
Davis?
Hasn't messaged us about Kelsey DeSantis at all. Very disappointing that he has not done that.
We're looking for so many people. Chuck Buffalo, Jared Brooks, Don Davis.
Yep. Yeah. Where are these people?
We're going to create so many hashtags.
What's that?
We're going to create so many hashtags.
Yeah, create so many hashtags. All right. What else do we got? Rain, how important is it for people to sell themselves as a fighter, as a promoter? So the reason why I'm bringing this up is because you and I were talking off air about, you know, some of the fighters that we reach out to sometimes and, you know, some of the amateurs or the young pros that we meet. It's interesting that they don't have a very robust social media.
Yeah.
Now you, as a ring announcer, mm-hmm. We were talking, why don't we talk about this? Nobody's listening now because they're all mad that Jared Brooks didn't come. I was saying for you to get your catchphrase into the world, mm-hmm. I think you film a video where you kind of do it and then you post it. So then the people that go to UNF will have seen your catchphrase and will be waiting for it.
True. I like that idea. I really do.
Right. And with some cool editing, I feel we could do this because if you go, okay, wait, what is your thing that you say?
Normally for the main event, I say, and please ring announcers, future ring announcers, create your own slogan, by the way.
It is trademarked, you son of a bitch. Yeah. We will sue the crap out of you if you use this. Okay, Rain.
So when I introduce a main event bout, I normally say, and now the fighters are ready. The cage is set. Let's go. This bout is set for 5 rounds for the UNF Flyweight Championship.
There you right. go. Now, the key here is that it's ready, set, go.
Mm-hmm.
The fighters are ready. The cage is set. Let's go. Let's go. I did give the recommendation that you say Stockton, California.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. That's going to be a part of like, yeah, yeah. But the main, yeah, yeah.
No, no, no. But I'm saying you can say Stockton, California. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. Well, because the thing is, it's like
UNF fans. Let's go.
Because like, so the, like the very first few lines of the spiel before that main line would be UNF fans. Okay. Oh. UNF fans, make some noise for the countdown to our showdown live from the la 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 la. This is our main event sponsored by Fight Insight Podcast. Oh.
Can you say that by accident?
But
say that by accident live on the broadcast. What are they going to do? They can't edit it out.
Yeah, I'm just going to have people screaming in my ear. Rain, that's not the sponsor.
Rain, we're going to kill you. I don't care. I'm making 2% off of Kelsey's 50K bonus. I got money to spare. Okay.
But yeah, so, but that's the part when I would say the name of the place and, you know, the city. So that's why I kind of don't want to be redundant too, because that's like right, the right, whole right. shtick right there. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Anyways. So what I think is you do a video and you can do it like you've got all your cool blazers and stuff like that. You do 3 shots.
Of like ready, set, go.
Yeah, or 4 shots. And you do like, hey, UNF fans, you know, at the next event, get ready for me to blah, blah, blah. And then you go cut and it'll go, the fighters are ready. And then cut to a different outfit. The cage is set. And then cut. New outfit.
Let's go. Boom. Boom. Yeah.
You post it. And people will know what your spiel is. Because I would think that like at the UNF or like when I'm at Fight League Atlantic, a lot of people might be going for first time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
50-50 maybe. Well, like you guys are normally in the same venue, so you're probably getting the same crowd. With Fight League Atlantic, we do go around the East Coast. They go around the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think like maybe 50-50. So I feel like it's cool, though, because if you're going to go, you probably are following their social media.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're following, and then you see Rain there, and she tells you what she's going to say. And then when you get to the arena, then everyone's going to sing along with you.
Yeah. You know, lately, though, it's cool to actually hear people say it with me when I do, and fighting. I hear them go, and... I'm not sure if they do the fighting part because by that time, that's when I belt out. So I can't really hear them say.
Oh, fighting. You can't hear them. Right. Okay.
I can hear them. Yeah. Say it with me.
But it's because you're doing and fighting every time.
Yes. And I think usually like if it's someone who, you know, who just went to UNF for the first time, right. They'll see me in the first few bouts. They'll see the pattern. Right.
So Yeah.
You know, from I'll introduce the fighters, blah, blah, blah. And towards the end, you know, after I say the hometown, like from, you know, Ontario, Canada. Oh, no, I'm sorry. When I say representing whatever gym and fight. And then usually it comes to like a physical movement, too, because I go down and I punch in the air fighting. It's so cheesy. But honestly, I did not plan that at all. It just happened. My very first UNF event, I noticed I was doing it on my own.
Yeah.
And then somehow people picked it up.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay. So are you going to make this video?
I will. I'm going to get my footage.
What?
I'm going to get my footage.
Well, you don't need your footage. You're going to do like make it, record it, and then edit it, you know?
Yeah, well, I have to get the footage from UNF because I don't want to use my cell phone video for that.
Yes. No, it has to. Yeah, it has to be. No, because then otherwise.
Because like the cell phone video wouldn't have like the best audio quality.
It's going to be good enough. It's going to be good enough. I think just try it. Because then once you have it, then you can cut, and then you can, you know, like obviously get like someone to record it for you with their phone.
Yeah.
But like
that's the other challenge too, by the way, getting someone. And and that's the thing. It's like, you know, what I love about doing UNF is that I don't have to worry anymore about my footage. I don't have to worry about, you know, my pictures anymore.
Right.
Because when I was doing wrestling, it's like, you know, I needed my husband with me to take all of this, all of my pictures, all my video, right? But then again, you know, my husband's not like a professional camera person. So it's like when I would see the videos or the pictures, it's like, it's not really the best quality, you know, because it's like zoomed all the way in. It's like the audio is bad. And it's like, do you really want to sell yourself that way? You know, it's good for something, but at the same time, it's like now that I have access to like professional footage, I'd rather use that. Cause like, you know, in all honesty, it's like at the end of the day, it's about promoting yourself.
Yes. But what I would, yeah. But there's also like a little bit of charm to it being like not professional. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
There's a slight bit of charm to that too. You got to do it well. Like you got to like look, you got to, you know, get dolled up.
Yeah.
In the outfit and stuff like that. You can't do it in like scrubs, you know?
Yeah.
And then you do the three thingies. I like it if you've got the professional for sure, but I would do three different outfits.
Yeah.
Of you saying it because you say it every time.
Yeah.
So I think three different outfits of you doing the fighters are ready.
The cage is set.
The cage is set and then cut.
Let's go. And then the other thing too that I could think of about someone shooting video from the outside, you have the cage in front of me, right? So visually, you can't really like, you have to angle it the right way so you could actually see my face too. So
no, yeah, no, what?
So if someone is shooting a video of me from outside of the cage, because that no. that's.
No, I'm saying like go do it in the park or something. Like do it.
Anywhere. No, I'd rather do it like inside a cage.
No, but this is an instructional video. This is what I mean.
Oh, okay. I see what
like you're saying. It's like a very you know, what's the term? Like it's very like rough. It's you know what I mean? Like it's a behind the scenes, as the kids say, a BTS.
Oh, a BTS.
Right? It's a behind the scenes kind of like instructional thing. Like you could, what I would like if I was directing, I would say, you're going to start off by going, Hey UNF fans, when you're at your next UNF event and you see me commentating, get ready for me to say this for the main event. And then, you know, and then we could flash a number one on the screen and then you go, the fighters are ready. And then flash number two. And then you're in a different location, different outfit. The fighters are set or whatever. Now I've screwed it up already. And then, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
but it's like a thing where you're talking. Okay. Yeah. Like I want something where you're talking to the camera, talking to the fans, talking to the UNF fans. And then you say that.
I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. You owe me $50 for this concept.
I owe you $50 for that concept. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was supposed to make so much money by being Jared Brooks's lawyer by now. Like,
well,
in my head.
Maybe he's in a different time zone. That's why.
He's not like, in
where
a different
did he live? Is he like from?
First of all, I sent him multiple time zones. Anyways, let's pray that he comes back. I'm going to show. I mean, we're at the end of the podcast now. Anyways, I'm going to show you all the screens that I made for him. Okay,
ready? I'm ready.
So if he okay, here's the slam in slow motion, so we can see how Joshua Paschiau was holding onto his arm. Here's in slow mo.
Whoa. I don't know if you can hear my sound effects. I was doing the sound effects, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I loved it. I could hear it. I don't know. I think because my video had no sound, it let you hear it. Here, this one has sound, so I don't think we'll hear you. Notice in this video how long it takes the referee, Herb Dean, to stop the fight after the slam. Watch what Herb Dean does. This is in real time. Watch how slow Herb Dean stops it, meaning he doesn't stop it as a result of the spike.
and the passion he gets. Cracked on his head. And a
you see?
True.
If you were calling this because of a spike, why did you let him eat 6-7 shots? And you even see her go, like, he does a little stutter. Like, he's like, am I going to stop it? Are you going to defend yourself? No? Okay, cool. I stop it. That's bullshit, Rain. Here's a picture of Jared Brooks. I just want to show everybody the prep, you know? Here's the picture, Jared Brooks, after the fight, being a nice guy. Too nice, I think. There's your Filipino brother. Did you do this because you're Filipino and you didn't want this guy in the podcast? Here is the difference in rules as it is written in both the global MMA rules and unified rules for UFC and 1FC. So I'm showing the difference here in the wording. I'm showing that the UFC greatly expands upon the definition of a spike. Okay? Mm. No spoilers. I don't want to give you too much time. Here's a rule. Now I go only to global rules, which is for 1FC. Here's my next slide that I was going to show Jared. This rule shows that a fighter should have up to 5 minutes to recover before you decide what to do.
Mm-hmm.
There was no freaking 5 minutes because Herb Dean called the fight and the bell rang. So why did we not follow that rule? That's baloney. Here's another rule that I thought was interesting. Here's the rules on a no contest. It says that if an athlete cannot continue as a result of an accidental foul at or before 2 minutes and 30 seconds of round number two, it is a no contest. That happened in the first round.
First round.
Unless you're telling me it was not an accidental foul, which is bullcrap. Of course it's accidental. So there, in their own rules, it's a no contest. Give Jared back his belt. It's a no contest. If they say it wasn't accidental, Rain, then I pull up this rule that says, at the referee's discretion, an athlete may be disqualified based on a repetitive or severe fouling. So, okay, so a severe foul. If an athlete is disqualified, the company may deduct a minimum of 30%. Of his purse. So Jared Gordon, did they deduct money from you? Because if not.
Jared Brooks, not Jared Gordon, by the way.
Sorry, Jared Brooks. I'll get that right by the time he shows up. So there you go, Rain, right? Unless they deducted money from you, now things aren't jiving. Was this accidental or not?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's all I got. But with those cases, Judge Rain Cruz, my client is innocent.
Ding, ding, ding. Guilty. I'm just kidding.
Damn you, Rain. Filipino court of law. So biased. So, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like I got all these things laid out and I want to bring this up to Jared and go, hey, dude, all this ain't jiving, bro.
He's going to love it when he comes on to the podcast.
This is what I'm saying. Jared doesn't realize I'm such a fan of his and I'm such a stickler for rules that I was going crazy with this man breaking this crap down. I don't know. He should not have lost his title. I'm telling you, he should not have lost his title. Anyways, if you are watching this and you've made it this far, God bless you. And if you know Jared Brooks, go say, what the frick, bro?
If you know Jared Brooks, Chuck Buffalo, Don Davis,
yeah,
tell all these guys to call us.
We got three people on our hit list, but you know who's not on our hit list? Nisila Costello, the Chaos. BKFC, she's fighting. She's pro boxer going to BKFC. I'm so excited. From Australia. I cannot wait. Rain, I'm going to send you her Instagram. Go check her out because she's funny as crap. Let me say it right now. Actually, maybe I should do that and give her a quick shout out. Boop, 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 boop. She is, this is very hard for me to spell this out. Okay, it's at NICILA underscore.
NICILA underscore.
Yeah, go follow her now. That way then when she's on next week, if she shows up, then it will be a good time because you will know who we're talking about. She's a very funny person. She has 107,000 followers, Rain. We're going to blow up after this.
I just follow her right now.
Boom. Oh. Yeah, she's very cool. All right, Rain, we're out of here. Thank you so much. I'm very sorry, everybody, that Jared did not show up.
He's a very busy man, you know, busy man. Have,
well, he's not, I mean, you know, he's know. Not busy watching he's his okay, gold, though. He's not busy watching his gold belt because they took it away from him. Robbery, but okay. All right. I will try again. This is maybe the third or fourth time in Fight Insight history that we've been ghosted by a guest. Not okay. bad in not 162 bad. Episodes. And, Rain, how smart was I to book Chelsea Chandler, because I had a gut feeling that this could happen.
That's good. And we got a winner in a podcast today. So congratulations to Chelsea.
Yeah. She's so funny though. I really like her, the way she like swears and stuff. You know, and I'm glad her video fixed up at the end.
Yeah.
It is frustrating, but then it fixed up. So that was good. I'll find a good quote or some good parts from there to talk about. But okay, next week on the podcast, we've got a BKFC fighter. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Keep your eyes open for the Tyson stuff. Think about doing that instructional video. If you are a ring announcer, get the hell out of here. Do not copy Rain, you cheating bastards. And anything else, Rain, before we go?
No, don't forget UNF 17, March 30th in Burbank, California at the Marriott Convention Center. Tickets are still available.
Yeah. Go there. Watch Rain do her thing. She may give you an autograph for free. And then you fly across North America to Nova Scotia and you see me at FLA 14 and Submission Kumite 6 on the Friday night as well. So you'll get two events for one and I will sign autographs. So
there you go. For free?
No, of course not. It's at least $20 an autograph. All right, guys, thank you so much. Rain, thank you so much. Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.